This is the Bates Bobcast, our weekly podcast about the week that was in Bates athletics. My name is Aaron Morse, and this week we're reflecting on the greatest season in Bates women's basketball history. Plus, Cole DeMagistris from the class of 2024 just signed a contract to play for the Toronto Argonauts of the Canadian Football League. And the baseball team is red hot to start the year. That's coming up on the Bates Bobcast. The Bates women's basketball team's historic season came to a close on Friday when they fell in the Sweet 16 at undefeated at number 2, nationally ranked Scranton. Bates wraps up the campaign with a record of 26-4, the most wins in one season in program history. The Bobcats also won their second NESCAC title and advanced to the Sweet 16 for the second time in the last three seasons, and the fourth time overall. After the game, head coach Allison Montgomery emphasized that this program deserves to be mentioned annually as one of the top teams in the NESCAC.
We've been there for a while, right? Like, we won a conference championship, 5 years ago. We've been in it. We've been in the tournament the last 3 or 4 years. So I do think, you know, obviously NESCAC has a reputation that it is really competitive, and there's been some teams to really run the table, and it's been really top heavy. I think there's more parity now. The work that these women have done, like, that our program demands and deserves that respect of being like, we're in that conversation always. And so what we talked about, I mean, one of their visions and their priorities in terms of everything they're doing is to uphold the legacy. That's their phrase. And I think they've really pushed it forward, right? And so I would love to, you know, we put together a pretty great season, I would say. And, you know, I said they've moved us a step forward to be on the map in terms of the way people are thinking about this. So maybe in the first round of the tournament, we don't have to play Smith to get here. And then we don't come to Scranton right now for the Sweet 16, you know? Anybody out there listening? So I just think, yeah, I mean, but we love that. We love that challenge. And I think we see ourselves as, like, we are the standard of excellence in the NESCAC, right? And we're not kind of chasing anybody else. I feel like we feel like we've kind of set that standard, and great breakthrough win this year to get that championship over Bowdoin at Bowdoin. So I feel like, you know, this team has worked really hard to establish that, and moving forward, we want to continue to uphold that and continue to be like, people are like, the Tufts, the Amherst, the Bowdoins, like, we want that to be led with Bates.
Senior captain Elsa Delario finished her career on a high note against Scranton, scoring a team-high 18 points on 7 of 10 shooting. She finishes her time at Bates with 1,375 career points, the sixth most in program history, 854 rebounds, the third most in program history, and is the women's basketball team's all-time leading shot blocker with 230 in her career. And Elsa Delario is our female Bobcat of the Week. Well, we are here with D3Hoops.com Region 1 Player of the Year, Elsa Delario. Congratulations on a great season, first of all. I mean, you know, the Sweet 16 just happened, but have you had any time to kind of reflect looking back on this season? Because it was a great culmination, I thought, for your 4 years here as a Bobcat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have been able to process it a little more. And, you know, obviously a tough way to end, but I think there's just so much to be proud of this season. And, yeah, over my 4 years, I think this is just a great way to end, like, a historical season for us. And, yeah, just felt like we had all the momentum there in the postseason, which it was so fun. Just a great, fun season.
Yeah, that postseason run, I mean, some incredible comebacks. I mean, yeah. 20 points down against Hamilton, 18 points down against Smith. I mean, those comebacks, that's not typically the way the women's basketball team has been winning games the last 4 years. It was a little different. So what were those experiences like to come back from that? You hadn't had a ton of experience making those comebacks, but you certainly did.
Yeah, it was really exciting. And I think for our team, it just helped us propel in ways that we didn't know we could, honestly. And it just allowed our trust and belief in each other to grow even more. So I would say, like, that Hamilton game really helped us in every other game in the postseason, because it, you know, it showed us, oh, we've come back from 20 points. We can do anything. Or if the other team goes on a run, which they're going to every game, doesn't matter, because we just need to have trust and belief in each other and just work through those hard things. And we did that for a long time. So It was good.
Yeah, certainly. And then obviously, we've talked a little bit about it before, but to capture the NESCAC title on the court that you kind of grew up with, I'm sure Bates always prefers to host those types of things, but to capture it at Bowdoin was pretty special, right?
It was so special. And I mean, obviously, it would have been great to have it in alumni, but to have it at Bowdoin, I mean, it kind of just was a huge full circle moment for me. And yeah, definitely the happiest moment of my career and just playing basketball my whole life. Like, that is definitely the highlight looking back on it now. And yeah, just so proud of the team for that. And yeah, just another reason why we've had such a historical season.
What was the conversation like with your mom after that game?
Oh, she was just so proud. And yeah, we both were a little bit emotional. But yeah, I mean, we talked before that night after we won to Amherst, and we both just knew that there was no doubt that we were going to win. And so it was just great to, you know, hug her afterwards and share that moment together, because we knew it was going to happen and we made it happen. It's great.
And then the win over Smith, I mean, that atmosphere at Alumni Gym, that's up there with some of the best, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's definitely one of the most, like, chaotic, fun, just, like, it really encapsulates what alumni is like. And it was a great way to send alumni off, especially for us juniors and seniors who aren't going to play there anymore. But, yeah, for our whole team, for the community, I think that was just such a special moment. And having it there kind of propelled us for that win, too. And, yeah, no better way to do it to a kind of a top-dog team as well. And I think just our intensity in that game, along with that crowd, it was just awesome. And, again, one of the best memories of my career as well.
I know you're the ultimate team player first, but I will say, against Scranton, 18 points on 7 of 10 shooting. That's a pretty darn good performance for your last game, right?
Yeah.
What were your thoughts on, you know, how you were able to play in that game? Because, you know, mm-hmm. obviously you were able to get your points when they needed it.
Yeah, I think I was just trying to be as aggressive as possible. And in the past, I think teams have started to take away, like, my turnaround jumper. So I hadn't have really gone to that in a while. And so I think I was just trying to mix it up as much as possible, but just being confident and shooting it when I had the option to. And yeah, I think just kind of getting it inside and out of the paint was good for us, and it gave us some good offense. So yeah, I was just trying to do as much as I could.
Seems like the senior class is very close. I noticed after the win over Smith, the four seniors, you all found each other for a hug, mm-hmm. kind of separate almost. What's the senior class like, the other three and yourself?
Yeah, I think we're so close, and we're so proud of each other for this season and just the past 4 years. We have had conversations with each other and coach, whatever, when we were freshmen, and just about how important we need to be to each other and for the team. And I think we've just done such a good, consistent job over the past 4 years. And yeah, we've just worked our asses off, which, yeah, it kind of paid off this season. And just to know that, like, that NESCAC championship was 4 years in the making, and had to hug each other there at the end, just to know that, I mean, we kind of did all that we could and we were there for each other. So it was a special moment.
And Sophie, what a way for her to have what a run for her in the NCAA tournament. What's it mm-hmm. like watching her, like, I mean, 20 points in each of the first two games, a pretty good game yeah. against Scranton. Also, I mean, she doesn't normally score 20 points. Yeah. I mean, that was pretty awesome. What did you see from her, you know, stepping up there?
It was huge for us. And, I mean, that's what we see of Sophie, like, every day in practice and pickup. She is always on fire. And, like, to us, she is one of, like, a huge scoring threat. I mean, you didn't see that very much in games, but yeah, just to have her go off in the postseason was so big for us. And it just helped us, like, share the ball more and get different looks out of it. And we just needed that confidence, because she brings all the energy for our team. She, like, leads in that way, which is so big. So yeah, it was just awesome to see her get those moments and really contribute in that way.
I feel like, yeah, each of the seniors almost had, like, almost their distinct personality, sort of. Is mm-hmm. that fair?
Yeah, for
sure. What were each of them kind of like? I mean, you know, in terms of, like, you know, how you led, each of you, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I just said, but Soph is definitely
the hype person.
The hype person. I would say like Ava and Danny, but they're both like super inspirational, and I think Ava is great at leading by with like confrontation too. Like she's not afraid to call people out, and that's something that like I have a little bit of a weakness in. So we're a good partnership there. And Danny, she's just so great at leading individually. Like she knows the right thing to say to a person when they need it, and that's huge for us. And yeah, I would just say I lead by example. I just try to work super hard and give that to others as well. So yeah, all four seniors were great four leaders, and yeah, could not ask for anyone else to step up more. It was great.
Now you're going to be a Bates Women's Basketball alum.
Yeah.
And the alums always come back to the games and stuff. Are you looking forward to watching the team in action next year at Underhill?
Yes. Yeah, we're really excited. And, you know, it won't be the same in Underhill, but our alumni debut, it's going to be good. And, yeah, we're going to make the most out of it. It's going to be so fun.
Excellent. What are your other thoughts you wanted to share on your time at Bates or on this season you wanted to mention we haven't got to talk about yet?
Yeah, I guess I just want to say how fun and special the team is, and you just really don't get a program like this anywhere else. And I think the coaches have really just done such a good job to establish that culture in our team. But seriously, have not been on a team where nobody cares as much and just sacrifices themselves for the team, which is huge. And I think that's why we were so successful. And yeah, I guess I'm just really going to miss it, but I'm hanging in there and going to have a good spring. So yeah.
Excellent. Elsa Delario, she is the sixth leading scorer in Bates women's basketball history, the third leading rebounder, our female Bobcat of the week, and NESCAC champion. The list goes on and on. Thanks so much for joining us on the Bobcast. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Aaron.
The Bates baseball team heads to Florida this week for four games, and they're on fire to start the year, winning six of their first seven contests, including a doubleheader sweep of Plymouth State last Sunday at Leahy Field. Junior Keegan Ryan went 3-for-6 with a home run, three runs scored, and four stolen bases against the Panthers, and he is our male Bobcat of the week. Well, Keegan, congrats, first of all, on the great start to the season for the Bobcats. Best start since 1974 for the team. But before we talk about the season, tell me a little bit about your background. Growing up, how did you first really become passionate about baseball? What made this kind of your sport? And then what eventually led you to Bates?
Yeah, so growing up, I kind of played baseball, basketball, and soccer. But, you know, starting at a really young age, I was probably three. And my older brother would be at his T-ball games. And there wouldn't be enough kids there, so they would just throw a hat and glove on me, and I would just run out there with them. So that was always fun. But then, you know, going through high school, I was at Salem High my freshman year in New Hampshire. And then I transitioned to Lawrence Academy in Groton, Massachusetts for sophomore through senior year. And I played soccer till junior year, and then everything else was just baseball all the way till Bates. And so I met Coach Martin at the University of Richmond camp. It's because I knew one of the guys on the team already, and I just started talking to him. And Martin said, hey, you know, come up for a visit, come check it out. So I checked Bates out and I loved it. So here we are.
Excellent. Yeah, you're a junior now and you're a captain. So what's it like being a team captain this year? You and Liam Yardley leading the way, right?
Yeah, it's awesome. It hasn't been the biggest challenge because of this group of guys. They are, you know, tightest knit group of guys I've ever been a part of. So, you know, every day we're still putting the work in, we're focused, but they have made it so much easier, especially as a junior this year, which is really cool. It's honestly the biggest honor of my life so far. So I've loved every second of it.
Excellent. Then one thing I've noticed, you know, throughout your time as a Bobcat, you play a lot since your first year here. And it's one stat that really stands out to me, and I'm sure you probably know what I'm talking about. You've been hit by the pitch.
Yep.
31 times in your career, including 17 last year, which we're pretty sure is a Bates record. How are you able to get on base that way?
Well, I'll say my freshman year, you know, meeting Coach Flame, we kind of put some standards in place, and I got a group me message saying, you know, if I'm really into it and I'm going to be, you know, a team player this year, I'm not going to get out of the way of pitches. And on top of that, my two-strike approach, I get very close to the plate, whereas even our own pitchers don't like that during live at bats and practice. So I know, opposing pitchers don't like it. But, I'm not going to back away from a nice pitch off the elbow or off the knee. It hurts, but a free bag is a free bag. So I've tried to stay true to that as possible.
Is there a certain threshold of velocity the guy's throwing where you're like, okay, maybe not lean into these?
Honestly, I would say a lot of it is just mental.
Yeah.
Like, if you're practicing getting out of the way of pitches, you're going to get out of the way of pitches in a game. So I think it's really big that no matter where you are, you're sticking to it. It's going to happen. It's part of the game, but it helps the team, so it's important.
And during your time as a Bobcat, obviously you've also stolen a lot of bases once you're on. I know this team, especially Coach LaFlame, loves preaching aggression. What's it like to have such an aggressive coaching staff and give you free rein kind of on the bases, right?
I love it. Yeah, that was also one of the things that I was looking at when I was before I even came to Bates, because in high school I loved to steal bases as well. And then, Martin telling me that Coach Flame was all about stealing bags, green lights. I loved it.
Some power for you. A couple home runs already this year, matching your total from last season, including one the
Yeah.
other day against Plymouth State. What are you seeing at the plate right now? Obviously, a great start for you and the rest of the team, also.
Yeah, we're all feeling really good at the plate right now. I think personally, it's just a confidence thing. Obviously, we're all thinking about our approach going up. Physically wise, what are we seeing? What are they actually throwing? But then I think a big part of the game for me is just going up there, knowing that, I've been playing this game my whole life. I've done it before. And just, staying true to myself, knowing, it's possible. I can get a hit right now. Why not?
It was funny on Sunday in the doubleheader. The first game you lead off bomb the first with a home run. The next game you bunt your way aboard. Was that the plan? Like, okay, these guys think I'm a power hitter, now I'm gonna bunt.
It was not the plan. I did see the third baseman back a little bit, and I did want to get on. So, I had a little bit of a pointer from some of the coaches saying, maybe check it out, look for it. Just because, you can kind of read stuff like that in the box. You see the third baseman back a little bit. Scoot your way up in the box a little bit, open up the field, and just try to get something down.
Yeah, and the team right now, we mentioned hitting 324 as a team. The team OPS right now, it's only 7 games, but still 998. I mean, this is some hot offense. What's it like being part of this group and everyone swinging the bat so well?
I love it, and I know everybody else is loving it right now. It's the most damage we've done on a team that I've been a part of so far, and I think that it's really important that everybody stays, doing the same stuff we've been doing because it is working. So, it doesn't really matter who we're playing. We just need to stick to the same approach. All the way through the lineup, everybody has been doing their job, and it's honestly really cool to see.
Now you're a junior now, but when you were a first year, do you recall what the biggest adjustment you had to make to college baseball was compared to high school?
So the ISL is pretty competitive as it is, but the NESCAC is a big jump. I would say just, the physical preparation because, we are playing more games than a high school season. We'll go on long trips, stuff like that. But I think this year in particular, a huge jump for everybody has been in the weight room with Kaylee. She has done a tremendous job, not only with our team, but with every team. She's completely bought in to every program, and everybody on the team has noticed it. And, she brings the energy. We go in there throughout the entire fall, moving into the season as well. We're still in there. We try to get, one night a week right now while we're in season. But she always brings the energy, and it makes it so much easier for the 33 of us to go in there with some good vibes.
Yeah, excellent. Then we're talking on Zoom because you are in Florida right now. The Bobcats have 4 games in the next 4 days. So that's more than you normally have during a week, right? In terms of like 4 in a row here, really. It's gotta be sunshine, hopefully not any thunderstorms or anything, but how excited are you for to get out there on the field for 4 straight days here?
We're very excited. I think we love the one game a day right now. It's supposed to be nice every day, which is looking cool. And we all just got to our houses, so we're settled in now, but everybody's in really good spirits. We got down here safely, which was big. And it's going to be a fun week all around.
Yeah, the Russ Matt Invitational, new experience for you. What are your expectations, kind of what you're going to see?
My expectations, obviously, I would love 4 wins.
Yep.
I think that's, definitely possible if we focus on one day at a time. So, not looking too far in the future. Tomorrow's all that matters right now to everybody. And just, preparing overnight, getting our sleep, waking up, making sure we eat good, and then, preparing before we get on the field, whether it's, taking mental reps on the way there or just, a few extra stretches even before the game.
Yeah. Have you always been a center fielder? Is that been your position?
So yeah, growing up, I was always a center fielder. And then when I got to Lawrence Academy after COVID, I was in right field. And then when I became a senior, that's when I transitioned back to center. But I've always loved it.
Yeah, what's your favorite part about playing center field?
Laying out for balls has got to be the 1-1 for me. I don't know what it is. It's just the adrenaline starts flowing and you kind of like black out for a minute and it all just happens so quickly. But that's definitely the coolest thing about it. And I also just love shagging balls, even when we're taking BP, you get all your live reads and I love it.
Excellent. And we mentioned the hitting, but the pitching's been really good too. I mean, John Tolley, 3 games, knock on wood, has not walked anybody. Diego's striking people out. I mean, what's it like playing behind these guys who are doing so well on the mound also?
It's awesome. They have the entire staff. I mean, Diego and Tully, they have done tremendous so far, but even behind them, the entire staff has been completely focused. Everybody's bringing whatever they need to bring. We trained all winter. We did live ABs. It was challenging against them. It's good competition, which I think is why we are doing really good behind the or at the plate as well. But no, they are a great group of guys, and it's really fun to compete against them.
Yeah, and then I mean, as a center fielder, you must appreciate when they throw strikes, right? Because yeah, I imagine outfield has the risk of becoming a little boring if there's too many walks and stuff, right?
Yeah, no, they've done awesome with that so far this year. I have no complaints. I don't think anybody does. They are playing above their standards, and if they keep that up, then we're golden.
Yeah, certainly. And what's Coach Martin like to play for? What's his style?
I love it. He's a little more laid back, but he wants guys doing the right thing all the time. He does have standards which we stick to. Sometimes you got to get on guys to remind them, hey, like, you know what? Coach wouldn't like that, or coach would like that, which is big for the younger guys too. But they, even the younger guys, they've all came in here and done their thing all year long.
Yeah, definitely. Well, any other thoughts you wanted to mention about the season so far we haven't got to talk about? Anything else you wanted to say?
It's just been a blast so far. It has been a blast so far. Everybody on this team is just, it's a really good group of guys, and I'm very happy to be a part of it.
Excellent. Keegan Ryan is our male Bobcat of the week after some outstanding games at the plate, both with the long ball and playing small ball in the doubleheader sweep of Plymouth State. Thank you so much for joining us on the Bobcast. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Bates football alum Cole DeMagistris from the class of 2024 had his senior season as a Bobcat cut short due to injury, but he did not let that deter him in his pursuit of his goals. He used his 2 extra years of eligibility to play at Sacred Heart, and recently, DeMagistris signed a contract with the Toronto Argonauts of the Canadian Football League. We caught up with the offensive lineman to talk about how he was able to make it to professional football. Great to have Cole DeMagistris with us here on the Bobcast. The news the other day, signing with the Toronto Argonauts of the Canadian Football League. Really exciting. Cole, obviously, you graduated in 2024 from Bates, so your senior year was 2023, had that injury that unfortunately cut that season short, and then you were able to use your extra years of eligibility to transfer. Tell me a little bit about your final 2 years of college football, where you ended up, and how that prepared you for what you're doing now in terms of signing a professional contract.
Yeah, of course. So first off, thank you for having me on the Bobcast. This is an honor. It's exciting to be back here. I was able to, like you mentioned, after my season-ending injury, get that year of eligibility back. So that year plus my COVID year from 2020, my freshman season, I was able to bring 2 years with me to a new program. I went in the portal and I was able to find a home at Sacred Heart University playing D1 FCS ball. And it was very, very exciting. It was cool to take everything I learned from Bates and bring it to a new program and continue to grow at this new program as well. I started every single game I possibly could there at left tackle, all 23 games. We were able to win back-to-back Yankee Conference Cup champions in 2024 and 2025. And in my last season there, my sixth year, we were able to go 8-4, and we just missed the playoffs. It was a very successful season, our best record that we've had since 2021 campaign at Sacred Heart. And I was also able to be named captain my final year of, there at Sacred Heart. So it was definitely a great decision for me. I enjoyed every minute I had there at Sacred Heart, and I was able then to use that experience with my Bates experience and parlay it into a career beyond and playing professionally. So this has always been a dream of mine to continue playing, and I'm able to start to realize it right now, which is super, super exciting.
So this past fall is your final season, basically, with the
Correct. Yeah, I
Yeah.
graduated from Sacred Heart in 20 at this 2025 December.
Gotcha. And then, so in terms of like approaching the CFL, what do you got to hire an agent, or how does that kind of go?
Yeah. So I in January when I so I in January I was done with school, so now I'm entering the real world here, and I have to decide what I want to do. And I always, like I just mentioned, I want to continue to try to play, but I also was applying for regular jobs within the football world because I want to stay involved with football as like a fail safe just in case. So I'm applying for NFL jobs, applying for different jobs around the league and just within football. But I started reaching out to agents through just LinkedIn, going on websites, looking at NFLPA agents, CFLPA agents, just trying to get connected. And it's tough, it's difficult. Anywhere you try to get into the sports world, whether it's playing or just working in sports, just to get your foot in the door is a pretty difficult task. So I was able to connect with one agent, a CFL agent, and he mentioned that there is a camp up in Canada that I should attend. He said that with your film and your size, it would be a great opportunity for you to get in front of scouts, to get in front of coaches for the CFL. So it was March 6th. So just a few days ago, last weekend, my father and I drove up to Waterloo, Ontario together. And I was able to compete in a combine type event anywhere outside of Canada. You enter the CFL as a free agent. Only Canadians or people with Canadian citizenship are eligible for the draft in Canada. So I enter as a free agent. So this was a free agent camp that I attended. So I competed. We brought up, I had to bring my helmet, my shoulder pads. We did some indie drills to see how I moved in space. We competed against the D-line one-on-ones, and I was able to do very well and impress. And right when it finished, I had different coaches from the nine CFL teams, different ones approach me and say like, "Hey, listen, we like what you did, and we want to add you to our neg list." So I was like, "Oh man, that's great. What's a neg list?" Because I'm still learning all about this as well. A neg list is a negotiation list that every CFL team can place players onto, and that will give them exclusive rights to negotiate with you before any other team has that chance to. So, it's a first come, first serve basis. So, I was added to the Toronto Argonauts negotiation list by 2 minutes, which meant there was another team that was looking at me too, which is very humbling as well. So, it was just great. It was a great experience and kind of like a fever dream for me being here. And, like, they said to me, the Argonauts, if we add you to that negotiation list and we get you, we're going to offer you. And that's what happened, and reviewed the contract, signed. And it's been just an exciting couple of days here. And feeling the love from not only Sacred Heart community, but of course my Bates community and my high school community. So it's been the past few days, my phone has just been just blowing up a little bit, and it's very humbling, and it's a blessing to be here, and it's exciting to feel all the love. So thank you to everyone for reaching out to me.
So when do you start? Like, when's their camp? Like, when do things get going? Are you already in Toronto?
Yeah, no, so I'm still here in New Jersey, still
Okay.
training. So it's still technically my off season, but it's different from NCAA and NFL, where the season is shifted forward. So it starts on my report day is on May the 4th, be with you. So that's a great sign. I'm a huge Star Wars fan, so that's exciting too. So I'll report up there on May the 4th, and then from there, training camp starts all of May, and it goes until the end of October is the whole season. So we'll have two preseason games at the end of May, then the regular season starts June, beginning of June, and then just month after month up until hopefully you make playoffs and make the Grey Cup, which is their Super Bowl.
So obviously you've signed a contract, but I imagine is it similar to the NFL where training camp, they're gonna, it's gonna battle for roster spots. Is that fair?
Correct. Yeah. So it's not like I'm able, they just give me a high five and they say, Rick, you're our starter. Great, congratulations. So it's still wherever you go, no matter what level you're on, you have to earn your spot. So it's, they'll be making cuts throughout camp, but I'm confident, I'm excited. I'm gonna take everything I've learned over my my career here, my long career, and I'm going to just try to do my very best.
Absolutely. Well, and I was curious because I know the CFL has different rules, different even dimensions, right, in the NFL. Tell me about that
Correct.
a little bit.
Yeah. So, and this is everything that I'm learning still right now, but the field from sideline to sideline in NFL or college football is around 52, 53 yards. In the CFL, it's 65 yards. So it's wider field. Also, the length of the field obviously is 100 yards in football that we know here in America. In Canada, it's over 100 yards, around 110 yards. And the goalposts are in the front of the end zone. There's also different points that you can earn. There's one point called a rouge, and I'm still, you get an extra point for it. I believe it's if you miss an extra point and it goes through the back of the end zone. These are rules I'm still learning about here. But so yeah, different dimensions to the field, different location of the goalposts. There's different types of motioning that goes on as well. So it doesn't really affect me as an offensive lineman. It's still just line up and play. But for like a receiver, they will have like a full head yard, full like 10-yard head start sprint behind the line of scrimmage, and they can start running like as the snap is called. So there's like there could be like more than one person in motion at once on offense. So it's definitely gonna be a little bit of a learning experience here. I believe there's also three downs instead of four. So it's gonna be a little bit of learning experience, but at the end of the day, like I just mentioned, it's still football like normal for the offensive line, defensive line up front. So
Does the wider field impact the offensive line? I mean, like in terms of like are there hash marks and stuff? Like in terms of like maybe run blocking to the outside, or how's that kind of go, you think?
yeah, I mean, it will affect everything we do. Every position on the field will be affected by that wider field. It's just more ground that you can cover. So more space that you got to block for, I'll get more as they want me for a tackle here as well for the Argonauts. So there'll be more speed rushers coming off from wider nine techniques. So just adapting to that wider field, it's going to have an effect on everyone in. Yeah.
Well, speaking of adapting, real quick, I'm going to throw it back to when you went from Bates to Sacred Heart.
Sure.
D3 to FCS, what kind of transition was that for you? Like, what did you notice about the players? What adjustments did you have to make? Obviously, you had a lot of success. You started there and the team was very successful, but what adjustments did you have to make moving from the NESCAC to FCS?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the biggest thing that I found, so first I had to gain a lot more weight. So after my injury, I dropped down very low, like lowest I've been since high school. So it was a grind to rehab with our trainers there at Bates College, and then also my doctors there up in Maine. So it was a great rehab process, and through that I gained weight and then surpassed any type of weight that I weighed at Bates College. So I was you have to be a just bigger in size to compete. And the big thing that I realized jumping from D3 to D1 like that, FCS, is just technique is so important. So I was able to get away certain times, and like Coach Watrous will know, like I was able to just like kind of jump almost, grab my guy and lock him up. It was easier to move and capture my players and make my block in D3 because I like to stay humble, but I am athletic enough to do that. But when I trying to do that at D1, you can't. You get beat. So at the start of training camp, it was difficult for me at Sacred Heart because I'm learning, like, if I don't take a great step and take, like we call it, a deep angle step, if I don't take a deep angle step and get my head across and have great hand placement, I'm going to lose my rep because these guys are a little bit bigger. They're a little bit faster, and you need that. You need to be an excellent technician. And this was stuff that Coach Watrous and everyone at Bates preached to me. And then again, there was a wake-up call when they were preaching it to me again at Sacred Heart. So you have to make that adjustment, and I was fortunately able to. And you learn as you go. And yeah, you just have to. That's the biggest jump. Just being a great technician and understanding what the defense is going to do before they actually do
Certainly. And then now, obviously, you're making another adjustment, right? You're going from
it.
D1 to professional football in Canada. I mean, pretty good professional football. Like, I mean, there's been some guys who've gone from CFL to NFL and whatnot. But I mean, like, What did you notice at that camp? What did you see from those guys? What kind of guys were you up against, when you went up there?
Yeah, so I was up against, so it was a free agent camp. So it's not just like everyone that's my age coming right out of college. There were
Yeah.
some guys that were a little bit younger than me. There were some guys that were pushing 30s. So they're versing against, you're going up against a whole like array of different people. And yeah, it was challenging, but I was able to just kind of hit a groove and just lock in and be able to go up against these guys. But yeah, it's not college where everyone's at that same age range. And there's going to be a lot of people with different experience and a lot of years on their career that they can fall back on. So it's going to be exciting challenge, especially when I get here up to Canada and yeah, play professional football. And it's going to be another big adjustment. So I was able to do it once. I'm confident I'll be able to do it again. It's definitely going to be a learning curve, but I'm excited for it. And this is what I love to do. So this is a dream come true for me to be able to continue to do this.
Yeah, absolutely. I know we spoke, during your time at Bates, you had that internship with the Minnesota Vikings. I mean, we hope you have a very long career in the CFL, but do you still kind of have like your thoughts in your mind about, front office type opportunities, with, if and when the CFL opportunity kind of runs its course and whatnot?
For sure, yeah. So I want to continue playing until the wheels fall off.
Right, of course.
Until that day comes and I have to hang up the cleats, I'm going to be playing, whether it be in the CFL or maybe even higher, depending on how things go. But yeah, taking it one day at a time, I got to win my spot first.
Right.
Yeah, after my playing career is done, whenever that may be, I definitely want to have a career within the sport. And of course, like going to work in the NFL would be also an exciting opportunity. I still have connections there at Minnesota. And I had been applying for jobs across the league before I got this opportunity with the CFL. So it was good to put out feelers and make even more connections during that process as well. So yeah, after my playing days are over, it will be something in football, whether that be working in the front offices of a team or maybe just coaching. That you can go any route, and that's going to be an exciting path to explore in the future.
Yeah, so since training camp starting in May, do the Argonauts give you any sort of guidance of what you're supposed to be doing between now and then, or are you kind of on your own?
Yeah, so actually, so I have we're starting up offensive line meetings now.
Okay.
So I actually have my first meeting tonight, which is exciting. So I'm on the same page with everyone because we have a new offensive line coach this year for the Argonauts. So they're changing up the offense a little bit and the calls. So it's going to be, I'm learning along with everyone else, which is nice coming in at that same page as everyone. But in terms of aside from meetings, it's just basically getting ready. I'll be doing a lot of field work. I'll be doing just continuing to train in the weight room, staying ready, continuing to eat right and maintain my weight and maybe push it a little bit more. But I'm going to find out more about everything living wise, like housing and training camp and the visa, because I'll be living there for more than it's more than just a quick visit for a weekend trip for Canada. I'll be living in Canada, so I'll be learning all about that in the days to come here, talking with their player personnel department and getting situated as we go up north.
Excellent. Well, anything else you wanted to mention about, this opportunity to play professionally in Toronto? I don't know of any other Bates alum who has played in the CFL. So this you could be a first. I'm not putting that on record, but it's quite possible you're the first ever. So, well, any other thoughts you want to mention about this opportunity we haven't got to talk about?
I kind of touched on it before, but it's truly a blessing, and I don't take this opportunity lightly. I've learned a lot and made a lot of great connections and had a lot of amazing experiences in high school at Sacred Heart, but mainly too at Bates. That's when I really just developed into the person that I am today. So to be able to do this, and yeah, if I'm the first, that's great. If I'm the second, whoever, it doesn't matter where I am in that lineup, it's just still just a exciting opportunity to be even mentioned and to be able to continue to play. You see the stats how not a whole lot of high school athletes make it to college to play, and then even a smaller amount able to play beyond that. So to be in that little percentage and do what I get to do and play the sport that I love is you can't ask for anything better. So like I said, yeah, it's a blessing, it's humbling. I'm thankful for all my coaches, all my past teammates. And people like you for talk like for all this, it's exciting. And I don't take it for granted at all. And I'm gonna enjoy it while it lasts, because if you get to do what you love then you won't have to work a day in your life. And I realize that, and I'm gonna try to continue with that as I go forward here.
Looking forward to following your career there in Toronto, Colton Magistris. Thank you so much for joining us on the Bobcast, and congrats again on all your success.
Really appreciate it. Thank you, Aaron.
In other Bates Athletics news, the men's distance medley relay team placed 11th at the NCAA Indoor Championships on Friday, and both track and field teams start their outdoor season this week down in Atlanta at the Emory Spring Break Classic. Plus, the swim team is sending 9 Bobcats to this week's NCAA Championships in Indianapolis, and Bates is the top seed in 5 events. We'll recap that action along with the softball team's season opening trip to Florida next time on the Bates Bobcast. We'll be right back.